Welcome back to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. Comedian Kyrie Shabazz is now blowing up with millions of views online. This weekend, he returns to Sacramento for a special cause. The Helikind Comedy Show is a fundraiser for the Sacramento Kindness Campaign, which supports kids and their families with housing and other basic needs so that the kids can stay in school and graduate. All ticket sales from the event will support the Sacramento Kindness Campaign. The show takes place at Sacramento Punchline this Sunday, September 29th. Joining us today in the studio, we have Kyrie Shabazz and Sacramento comic Keith Lowell Jensen. Kyrie, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on.
Keith, it's always great to have you.
Nice to be back.
Kyrie, you have bits online about watching sex ed as a kid, going to church as a kid, being left home alone as a youngster. What were you like as a kid? Were you the funny guy in your crew?
No, I wasn't, man. Like most comedians, I probably just observed. I sat back, I observed everybody, and kind of like, I just took notes, you know, just sort of these mental notes. And then, you know, I was kind of shy, just observed. And then when it was time to let it out, I just let it out. So
when did your humor really blossom?
When I started getting bullied, man, honestly. Yeah, I was one of those kids that, like, I felt like was an easy target in the lunchroom or in the classroom. So people would come in, you know, they light up the chubby kid with the chocolate milk stain. Just having no idea, I just had this lethal arsenal of just humor. So I think that's kind of when I really thrived. And then sticking up for other kids. Like, you know, just other kids that get bullied on, just kind of roasting people, so... I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, no, it's not. It is a defense mechanism. I mean, some guys get into fighting. Some guys get into rap. Your thing was just comedy. It was just like...
It's comedy. Comedy. It's the best way to diffuse certain situations and tension. So even growing up in a household, there was these really tense moments. There were times where a really kind of good joke just diffused what would be just kind of more tension. So that's kind of where the humor sprung out at. Just other than that, yeah, I was kind of like just... You know, quieted in my own little world, you know.
So you started in Cleveland and then moved to Northern California. Did you first move to Sacramento or elsewhere?
Sacramento's where I started at. I grew up in Cleveland, but yeah, comedy here in Sacramento at places like coffee shops like Luna's, which Keith ran for years, man. He's like, cool. What was it, vegan? What was Luna's like this vegan?
They had a lot of vegan stuff. Yeah, just like, yeah. Mexican cafe food.
just really cool shops and like these little clubs. So that's what I loved about SAC, was that you have all these like diverse pockets of people to perform at and in front of. So yeah, I got my start out here just performing anywhere that they have me up.
And what prompted the move to Sacramento specifically?
Family. So much about, and that's what I love about not leaning into the, you know, the Helikindness campaign, is that my mom lived out here. And my dad lived in Ohio, and that's where we were raised. So about 13 or 14, he thought it was time for us to meet our, you know, biological mom and spend time with her. So that's when we came out here. And it's been, like, off and on, you know, growing up. To finally, I was like, I'm done with the snow. You know, I'm done. I don't want to say pop. I want to say soda. So I was like, you know what, let me come to Sacramento and live out here and, you know. And so I made that choice about like 17 or 18. So.
And how did that, this big life change, how did that affect your material?
A lot. I mean, there's so much stuff from just being in the Midwest, that perspective and that point of view to coming out here and just seeing the world completely different. Even the way, you know, ethnicities are broken down in neighborhoods and communities and the what you're exposed to, I think, in Ohio. It's very much just not segregated and like, because I want to sound like Jim Crow-ish, but I mean, it might be. But it was very much like out here, just you're just exposed to so much more rapidly, like your neighbors. And I don't know if you grew up in apartment homes or not, but like your neighbors might be Tongan, and then you got the Filipino, and you got the just everybody around you. It was like this big melting pot. So,
and what was the impact? Did you start making jokes about just the life in this melting pot?
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, in a way. Yeah, in a way, you make jokes about it, but in a way, So it's the anxiety it creates of trying to catch up to that learning curve, right? You're a kid in Ohio and you're trying to learn, like, okay, I don't want to sound ignorant, but, like, you learn stuff like, okay, no, there isn't just Chinese. There's Hmong, there's Vietnamese, there's, you know. You're trying to cut through that learning curve of what you, you know, like, these are Tongans or these are Hawaiians. And, you know, I grew up, there's not a, a big Puerto Rican population in Ohio. So the first time you call someone Mexican, Puerto Rican, you know. So a lot of the humor and jokes I was learning was just through navigating, just putting your foot in your mouth or stumbling through those interactions, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
So I wasn't trying to roast, you know, people as much as turn that on myself of like, okay, come on, man, you got to learn the difference between Puerto Rican, Mexican, and Chinese, and Hmong, and Guam, and, you know.
Sounds certainly ripe for comedy, and people started to really pay attention. And you worked your way up. You were been on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Let's play a clip from that set.
I don't like the movie Home Alone. I get why some people do, man. To some people, Home Alone is ridiculous comedy. They laugh at it like it's nonsensical. Ha, 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 who would ever leave a child unattended? Ha, 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 ha. Who would ever leave an 8-year-old boy home alone? My dad, he did it all the time. The first time I watched Home Alone, I was home alone. I was afraid for my life. Because of that, I had to be raised with my grandparents. And, like, the only thing I regret about being raised by old people is every now and then I'll say something an old woman would say. Right? Like, this is a conversation I had with my roommate. He was in the kitchen. I walked in and, like, hey, man, what you doing? He was like, washing dishes. I was like, not with cold water, you ain't. Like, that's.
I'm excited to talk more about that material. I do want to talk, Keith, about the Sacramento Kindness Campaign. This campaign, what are they all about?
They have been wonderfully flexible. So the main thing is just helping people meet basic needs. But, you know, during the wildfires, went up there and worked with them to get people housed and fed that were suffering from the wildfires during the pandemic. Going and just bringing food to people's homes and feeding them. But the big push now is working with Sac City Unified School District, and their social workers will identify kids that are at risk of being unhoused. And we'll work with them to keep that from happening, or if that's already happened, get them in an emergency hotel room for 4 or 5 days while we work on more permanent housing, get them fed, drive them to school, or give them vouchers for taking a lift. Whatever we need to do to help not disrupt their schooling while getting their housing situation more secure.
And how did you first get connected with the Kindness Campaign?
You know, there was this amazing thing called Little Houses, and it was a camping thing. I used to call it like Burning Man for toddlers, that I took my daughter to. And the woman that runs Sacramento Kindness Campaign, Sarah, hi, Sarah, if you're listening, she was cooking for the camp. And so I volunteered to go help cook, and her and I just really hit it off. And she has this way of just pulling you into her orbit. Everybody involved in Sacramento Kindness Campaign, if you ask them how they got involved, they'll be like, well, I met Sarah, and before I knew it, almost against my will, I was working for her.
So have you done comedy for them before?
No, but they know me as a comedian. I mean, that's like my main identity. And then when I get involved in an organization and they're like, well, what can you do to help? I'm like, well, I could put on a show. You know? That's just like right immediately where that's where my skill set is. That's where, well, would that help? Well, sure. Shows make money, right?
And so tell me about the Helikind. Sometimes, right? Tell me about the Helikind comedy show. How did this come together?
Sacramento's a comedy town. And I feel like I was talking to Kyrie about this on the way here. I feel like we're known as a music town. People recognize, like, you know, Mozzie and the Philharmonic. And, like, we have all this great music that comes from here. If you go further back, the Deftones. Is it NBC Challenge?
Yeah, NBC.
The NBC Comedy Challenge. Sacramento won 3 years in a row. You know, and that's a national competition. Kyrie won it. Mike Winfield won it. J.R. DeGuzman. These are all Sacramento cats. You know, Hasan Minhaj is from Davis, but he came up in the Sacramento comedy scene. So I wanted to use that to make an annual fundraiser that would, like, bank on what a just powerhouse comedy scene we have and use it to do good in our community.
So tell us about this lineup.
It's fire. Any one of these people could have been the headliner. So Johnny Taylor is incredible. He tours the country with Brian Posehn and on his own as well. Just wrecking shop. You brought us Cookie Williams, and she's phenomenal. Oh,
man. Brilliant. Yeah, brilliant.
I knew I wanted Kyrie, but as soon as I went to Kyrie, he said, get Cookie Williams. And the other thing, and I let all the comedians decide how much they want to talk about this, but every comedian I asked him, hey, has homelessness touched your life in some way? And I actually have a comedian who I love who's not on the lineup because she was like, not really. Let me pass this position to someone else. But everybody that said yes, in some way homelessness has touched their life, I was like, cool, let's come be part of this show.
You mean like whether they have that lived experience personally or they had a friend or family member that experienced homelessness?
I left the question open to their interpretation. Has homelessness touched your life in a personal way? And if their answer was yes, then I was like, let's bring that, you know, not to hold it against anyone if it hasn't, but for the first show, I wanted that to be kind of a focus of like that really being in your heart. You know, being like, yeah, it is. It's something that I care about, and I've personally experienced, been touched by it in some way.
Well, I'm sure that passion will come through. Kyrie, how do you feel about coming back to Sacramento for the show?
I love it. Any chance, like, Keith is one of those people, man, when he calls me at the show, you say yes. You know, it's going to be a good show, and again, the lineup really is fire. I know a lot of comedians say that, and just you look at the lineup, you're like, no, there's two or three in that lineup that, you know, this show could do without. But this lineup literally throughout is a really good show. So for me, it was an easy yes. And again, just, yeah, dealing with what the cause is and what the cause is about. I'm big if I do a show that's like for a cause, there has to be that connection there because then it feels unauthentic. So for me, this was one of those shows I was just like an easy yes. You get to come back, link up with old friends, families, people you did stuff with, and just have a good time.
Are you open to talking about how homelessness has affected you or how you've thought about it?
Yeah, no, right now, today. No, I'm just kidding. It's just the grind through comedy, man. It's, you experience that moments where you might, you know, have to live in your car for a minute or, you know, just kind of struggle or, you know, you're worried about how you're going to make rent or crashing here and there. So definitely throughout the grind of comedy, there has been those moments of being like unhoused and not knowing you're going to rest your head or you know you get the gig. I don't know, Keith, if you've ever been in a situation where like you get the gig, but you don't know where you're going to sleep. You know, you just know you're going to get there. So just kind of being like, okay, I got a gig in Boston, yes. And now you're like, oh, shoot, I got to actually book, you know, a hotel. Not to make light of home, I hope that doesn't make light of like severe situations, but just navigating a comedy career and just having that instability because you're chasing something you're passionate about and you know.
Every comedian has slept in a car. Every comedian has had another comedian sleep on their couch and it's, at some point where things fall apart.
And it's those random acts of kindness that you see when people actually don't judge you, right? Because when people don't see you as an artist, you know, you're just some guy in a black hoodie in a car in a parking lot. You know what I mean? People can make those assumptions the same way people do with actual homeless people. I don't like when people are like, oh, that guy's just going to buy drugs or alcohol. You don't know individuals, people's stories or what they've been through. So when you've experienced that kind of kindness where someone can take you in and show you kindness and really look out for you, knowing that you're trying to get somewhere and do something dope, like a good show or just, you know, bring people laughter in another city, for somebody to put away those biases and act kind and just use human, that's dope because they're helping an artist and they don't know it at that moment. So I tend to look at it the same way. I try not to have those preconceived notions of people going through it. You don't know what this family story is. I don't know. We all know those people that just assume people are just, you know.
I hear you. And I know your passion for this cause is going to come out. It sounds like a great show. Kyrie, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Keith, Insight is always happy to have you.
Cool. I'll be back next week.
All right. Well, we'll see about that. A lot of people, I'm sure, are going to go to the show. That's Insight for today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Sarit Leshinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones. Our original music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Alan Young, in for Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here on Monday.